This is Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Money Moves, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, kicking off hour two of the program. Wherever you may be watching or listening, we appreciate it. SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app. He's JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. We're live in downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino, where we didn't get the chaos a lot of people I know were hoping for and thinking we might get in the Circa Survivor contest, as you give me the side eye. Listen, I don't know why you had to root against Buffalo so hard. I still had one entry on them.
I can't wink, but I can give a good side eye.
Support me.
Yeah. Why?
Although it did look for a minute dicey, right? Like Buffalo looked like they were going to get upset.
The Saints got robbed. They had a touchdown that was taken off the board in the last 7 minutes or so.
But how quickly did that go from Buffalo could get upset to Buffalo could cover?
Dude, that's what did I tell you? Now I ended up being wrong, thankfully. But what I told you, the second that touchdown got called back, I'm like, they're going to cover this game. This is exactly what's going to happen. And sure enough, like you said, they drove downfield and they got turned away. I think they were on the Saints, like they were red zone-ish. Mm-hmm. And they got turned away on like a third and two. And they elected to kick a field goal instead. Man, Matt Brown, we were changing at the desk and he started laughing too. And I was like, watch, they're going to cover. Like this whole game.
Crazy.
And this is how stupid football is sometimes. Your whole game, you're inside of that number. No sweat if you had New Orleans. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I've got to sweat out this final drive. And then please, please don't just break one to get a touchdown here.
Yep.
It's ridiculous.
So with that, so Buffalo gets through. And I know there are survivor contests all over the country and everybody has different rules for theirs. But here at Circa, the biggest selection was the Buffalo Bills, 4,130 entries. The Tennessee Titans lose to the Texans, so Houston gets by as the second most picks, 3,694, as do the Detroit Lions against the Browns and the Patriots with a blowout win over the Carolina Panthers. The biggest knockout this week was the Los Angeles Chargers falling to Jackson Dart and the Giants, 784 out there. The Green Bay Packers, yes, are out despite the tie last night against the Dallas Cowboys. And that's a killer. And as somebody who has lost on a tie to get knocked out of Survivor in the past, a few years ago, got through to week 10, but the Pittsburgh Steelers and Detroit Lions had a tie. That knocked a ton of people out. Mm. That happens. So they're out. The 49ers are out. In total, we are down from this week what was over 1,300 entries to 1,200, 406. There are 1,886 up in the air tonight. 1,830 of them on the Denver Broncos, who are 7.5-point home favorites to the Cincinnati Bengals tonight.
1,830?
1,830, yes.
Oh, because they're not on the... Sorry, I got confused because they weren't up there, so I got a little...
Yeah, that's the result.
Gotcha.
Played,
okay.
Yep. So they were the third most picked this week.
I mean, maybe Derek has said this already, or if you know off the top of your head, what's the record for most consecutive weeks where the number one selection has survived?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. That is a good question.
It's perfect so far. I mean, this has been kind of the theme of Survivor this year, which has been the number one selection being it. I mean, I hope I jinx it, as our Ortega, our producer, says in our ear, because, I mean, at some point we need some carnage.
Yeah.
The last 2 weeks, the Packers have been responsible for eliminating just over 2,000 entries, and that's like the closest we're getting to some carnage.
As Brian says in our ear, as he is part owner of the Green Bay Packers.
Two-time.
You're welcome. Two-time part owner. There are 54 on the Dolphins tonight, one on the Bengals, one on the Jets. So some people trying to go a little cute.
Yeah, I mean, I would have... Now, cute would be you only have one entry and you're using it on the Dolphins. That is getting cute. But I'm going to assume that the people who have those entries have multiple entries, maybe even all 10 still alive. You're trying to go against the grain a little bit in trying to move on. The Dolphins one doesn't make too much sense to me, only in that you mentioned there was how many on the Titans? Two? One? Something like that?
Two.
Yeah. If you have all 10, then like burning one on the Titans when you know that the Texans are going to be a first or a second selection, mm-hmm. then I think that makes some sense if you got the entry to burn. The Dolphins, I mean, what are you really doing? That to me is getting cute to an extent because you're like, all right.
54. Like, that's a pretty,
it's a 2.5-point favorite. Like
decent chunk.
It's not really exactly like you're running out there. But as Adam always says, Adam Burke, of the 32, assuming that you are going to move on and win, you got
to
use 20 of them at some point,
you're
including Christmas and Thanksgiving. Yeah. So maybe get them out of the way instead of using some of these popular selections early on. So it's going to be interesting because it's I have this the Survivor Atlas thing that I've signed up for and looking at, and mapping out the rest of the way. It gets pretty freaky after this week, so And that's assuming that we're going to probably be again on the top selection, which on paper looks like the Colts.
Which, that's a good point as we switch to the Circa Million picks. I mean, this has been bad. The consensus picks every single week. So they go 2-3 this week. Stale line on the Atlanta Falcons plus one gets there, but it would have gotten there at any number anyways. The Packers, Vikings, and Chargers, none of them cover the spread. The Rams cover the 3.5, but I mean, how good did Indianapolis look this week? So you mentioned the Colts. I think they're definitely in play as one of the top picks this week, although Buffalo will be as well, I'm sure, because we only saw about just shy of 30% of the field use Buffalo this week. We thought that number would be higher. They've got the New England Patriots this week, but does that suddenly look less attractive after what we saw New England do against Carolina?
I mean, it's funny how you look at these results. The also, the result in week one against the Raiders looks more quizzical for New England. I mean, how did you lose that game given the way that you've looked at least this competent moving forward? Now, you did have the blemish also against the Pittsburgh Steelers. A game which you should have won, but you turned the ball over five times. But to your overall point, New England has looked quite competent here in the early going of the season. But for the Colts, yeah, I think you feel pretty confident. You had two touchdowns taken off the board in a game that you lost by seven, both of them courtesy of Adonai Mitchell. So that's pretty tough. One of them courtesy of dropping a ball before he crossed the plane, something that Colts fans and teammates will be familiar with. As you remember, Jonathan Taylor last year in a game against the Broncos did the exact same thing. They were on the verge of blowing Denver out in Denver, and then everything fell apart after that. But this team looks competent. I don't know how much you watched of it yet, or if you've got a chance to get eyes on it, what you were doing yesterday. A little old Danny Dimes popped up, like just a skosh, you know, on an interception early. But for the most part, I think that this team looks like exactly what they've looked like through the first few weeks. And there was an opportunity for them to beat the Rams on the road in L.A. And I think that that speaks to how good this team has been and where Shane Steichen has them. And I would expect, as it has been reported, Colton Miller, left tackle for the Raiders, their best offensive lineman on a bad offensive line, has a high ankle sprain, is going to be out for quite a few weeks, that this should be an opportunity for Indianapolis to get right back on the winning thing, the winning side of things.
I am pretty frustrated with the Raiders this week, specifically Ashton Jeanty. As many of you know, if you followed along with the show, I have the season-long prop on Ashton Jeanty to have seven or more rushing touchdowns. I threw in an alt for 10-plus. Yeah, it's three touchdowns in the game. Amazing. Two of them are receiving, so not ideal. We were talking about it before the show. If you were to tell me that Ashton Jeanty would have three touchdowns in the game, I'd be over the moon. And instead, I'm not so pleased. Does have two rushing touchdowns for the season, but we got a long way to go.
How about Geno Smith yesterday, too? That was bad. Yeah. Three interceptions, and bad ones, too. The two of the interceptions came on the exact same play. Yeah. It was a deep in route, and safety's just lurking over the top, reads it perfectly both times, just undercuts it and grabs it. That was really bad. Yeah. And you can make the argument that Grumpy Ben Johnson probably should have won the game by more because his team wasn't doing that much in the first half. So that's the other part. I think Caleb Williams deserves some credit for leading his team on a late drive to potentially win a game, and the Bears get two straight wins here. But this Raiders team, it looks ugly, and this offensive line is the worst, I think you can argue, in the NFL. If you incorporate run blocking in just what you're responsible for as a whole, because obviously the Texans are going to be up there for how bad they've been, but this looks really bad for the Las Vegas Raiders, and if that's going to continue to head in that direction, we have a new candidate for fewest wins in the NFL for sure.
So speaking of interceptions, I mentioned this stat earlier in the program when Jay Morrison was with us, and great conversation, by the way, with Jay, Bengals beat writer. If you missed any of hour one of the show, you can always get Money Moves wherever you get your podcasts and listen to that in full. But Jake Browning has thrown five of them through just over six quarters of play for the Cincinnati Bengals. They are getting 7.5 points in Denver, taking on the Broncos, total 44.5. That is the second start of the two games we have on Monday Night Football. The Jets, who you mentioned, 2.5 point spread. Well, we're seeing threes now all over the place here with the Dolphins getting laid at home, total 44.5. Whoa, okay, got to rephrase that. Sorry,
apologies.
As I said it, I was like, all right, maybe
second day in a row
laying those things. I didn't know what I did. I was taking off.
Is JB back there? Hey, come on.
A jacket.
You don't have to describe it. We could just
but
move
the
on.
The way they said it, apparently.
So the Broncos, I think the Broncos are a little too high here. I would agree with Jay, who we talked about, who you just referenced earlier. If you look, we did our market power ratings for week 4 on Friday. You weren't here. They are on the 76th line, equals with the Jets, below the Browns and the Raiders, who we just talked about, just a point ahead of the Panthers. It just doesn't make much sense to me to put them down there. And again, you know, because we're basing these off of where the market is for these lines, lines, if you want to say you have to move them up, that means you have to move the Broncos up and put them on a tier with like the Rams or even the Chargers and the Lions. And I just don't think that is something that we're realistically doing given what we see about this Broncos team. So I think the Bengals being a little undervalued, and I don't want to freak out too much after one result. The biggest point of evidence is what we just watched in Dublin on Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. The Vikings looked like world beaters and the best defense in the NFL. And then all of a sudden it looked like they had never seen DK Metcalf in a receiving game before and got absolutely obliterated by the Steelers. So it's one result. It's 1 week. Get a little extra time to kind of lick your wounds, get ready for your opponent because you're playing on Monday night. I think 7.5 is a little too much against the worst quarterback in the NFL, I can say as a fact.
We're going to get into both of these games a lot this hour. We have VSiN's own Josh Applebaum joining us in about 20 minutes to give us kind of the market perspective, where the public money is coming in, where the sharps are betting. We've already seen a little bit of under money on this total in particular, down from the 45.5 to 44.5. For the Jets and Dolphins, something I do think is interesting is the rest advantage here for Miami, and maybe this is a reason why they're getting laid a little bit more. And I need to stop with this. Yeah, what is wrong with me? It's like when you go to do a Hawaii game and you get the lays when you get off of the plane. It's one of those things. Dolphins haven't played since last Thursday, and obviously they showed a lot of grit, were pretty competitive and chippy in that game with the Buffalo Bills. At home this week with a massive rest advantage. Meanwhile, for the Jets, second straight road game. Tyrod Taylor started last week. We have Justin Fields back from the concussion, so maybe a little lack of offensive continuity for a unit that's already middling, and the rest disparity. Also, fun fact, Dolphins have won 9 straight home games against the Jets, because I know you love those.
Yeah. Monday night, pretty good time for Bronco, I think.
Oh, I would agree. Monday Night Football is actually better with Bronco than other sportsbook. All NFL player props, -110, instead of getting juice to the 120 or higher, use our promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N. You'll claim a 50% deposit bonus and unlock ongoing rewards. PlayBronco.com is how you can get involved. Again, PlayBronco.com. We've even got Bronco's lines in our VSIN betting splits page these days. You got to check it out. Bet smarter every Monday night.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Season drops the puck October 7th. We are just over a week away, and VSiN's got you covered. Our NHL hub over at VSiN.com/NHL is packed with team previews for every team, futures insights, award markets, and our experts' best season-long bets. Jonathan Davis did a lot of wonderful work. Check it out today, VSiN.com/NHL, with new content and features rolling out all season. You'll have everything from Stanley Cup contenders to player props all in one place. Get ready for opening night at VSiN.com/NHL.
Odds move up, odds move down. Let's see where the odds are moving today, and do you approve this move?
All right, do you approve this move? College football edition. After lines dropped yesterday, there are a handful of games that we've seen some significant and in some cases just interesting odds movement. And I want to start with this Iowa State at Cincinnati game, which I know might not be the top game on everyone's radar this week, but it's been all over the place. Opened Iowa State -3. When we were on the air yesterday, it was +1.5. When I made this graphic, it was -1.5 with Iowa State. And now I look at DraftKings and they're getting 1.5 all over again. Nobody knows what to do with this.
Yeah, so part of me, and like flipping, you know, from 1-1, not the biggest deal in the world. Part of me, I want to go two ways with this. The first of which is the market has tried multiple times now to kind of short this Iowa State team from a spot perspective. Remember, they tried to do it coming back from Ireland. It did not work. It did work in the Arkansas State game. In fact, they probably should have lost that game because they had multiple touchdowns. Arkansas State did get called back in that contest. But the whole point here being is that they've kind of proven to be a little spot proof for the most part. They've at least taken care of business and won some of these games. We know that the stud defensive tackle that we've talked about, we were talking about this yesterday, is probably going to come back for Cincinnati. So that's a pretty big deal against an Iowa State team. You can speak to this a little bit more, but seems to be playing a little bit bigger, right? Playing some of their tight ends more, running the ball a little bit more, and having a very strong presence on the interior of that defensive line for Cincinnati probably could make a pretty big difference. But at the end of the day, I mean, is Iowa State to the point where they're only about like 3 points better than Cincinnati on a neutral? I think they'd be stronger at this point. I'd lean a little bit toward Iowa State deserving to be favored here at least.
Yeah, the question is going to be the health of Iowa State more than anything else. Yeah. And I think maybe that's why we're seeing some of this back and forth. The defensive backfield had a lot of guys go down, which is why I mentioned to you on Live Bet Sunday that we see that that total at 50.5 seemed a little bit low to me. We're up to 52.5, so it is creeping here toward that direction. Iowa State had, I think it was 3 different DBs go down. They were already missing Jeremiah Cooper, who is one of their stars. Their next best player in the secondary went down, and it was a lot of things there. So we'll get those injury updates from Matt Campbell tomorrow.
It's also, to bounce back from taking on such a high-level coached team such as Arizona, it's got to be rough to bounce back from that.
And you see on that graph, you see Arizona's getting played against Oklahoma State from 16.5 out to 19.5. OK State's fired by Gundy. Their lone wins to UT Martin, but back in an Arizona team that just got blown out.
You were on the sideline. You got to talk to the great Brent Brennan. I would think that you would agree with this statement. I think that's more about Oklahoma State, than Arizona.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Did you see how much people were playing Arizona on Saturday, though?
I did.
Got down from 7.5 to as low as 3.5.
No shock. I do local pregame on Saturdays, and I brought it up. I was very surprised to see that there was that one-way traffic for arguably one of the best coaches in the country.
The market was very, very wrong. This is going to be a fun one. Vanderbilt at Alabama. Opened tied -14. We're now largely seeing -10 in favor of Alabama. There's also 9.5 at FanDuel and ESPN Bet. College Game Day is going to be out there in Tuscaloosa. Obviously, Alabama just knocked off Georgia between the hedges on Saturday. Vandy 5-0 scoring points at will. Diego Pavia is a dog. What do you think?
So I think there's probably an obvious thought of, especially situational cappers in college, saying that this is a letdown for Alabama after what happened against Georgia. I would argue, though, and I don't think that's like the whole 4-point line move here, but I would argue, Stormy, if there was going to be an opponent that you were going to be hyper-focused on following Georgia and you weren't going to fall asleep at the wheel for, it's probably the lowly Commodores who upended you last year, is it not?
Yeah.
And now you get them back at home. If Kalen DeBoer, this is like the challenge to Kalen DeBoer, if he's worth his salt here as a head coach, this team's bleeping ready to go for this game after what transpired last year. You cannot slip up after what you just pulled off against Georgia, and I would assume that they're going to be ready. I'm just going to be curious to see how far this dips, if it gets under 10 and how much farther it goes, because if it's going to head in that direction, I'd be tempted to lay a shorter number here with Alabama in a big revenge spot for them back at home.
It is worth noting, though, I mentioned Diego Pavia as a dog. He covers these numbers, 10-2-1, 18. Yes, as a road dog since 23 and his 12 games as a dog at Vandy, 7 outright winners. One of those, of course, being the aforementioned Alabama Crimson Tide last year. This year through 5 games, 4-1 against the spread, covering by an average of 15.3 points. I talked about Miami earlier today. Love them in the ACC. You've got a national championship future on them. They're at Florida State coming up this week, and the Seminoles are getting played after the close loss at the buzzer against Virginia. From 6.5 point favorites down to 4.5, Miami is Superbook as low as 4. Do you approve this move?
I guess it's like 6.5 to 4.5. It's not like the biggest move in the world, if you will, you know, taking 6.5, 5.5 and everything in between. So I can kind of get it to a certain extent. I don't think I would venture a guess it doesn't get much lower than this for Miami, given where we're at. You get the extra day of rest, so it does matter a little bit. Florida State played on Friday, so, you know, there's that little bit of aspect to it. So that does kind of help you out if you're Florida State. And I also think we should give Virginia some credit. We talked about this on Friday when you weren't here, going through some of the offensive numbers, which were just, look, Virginia offensively was very good in the 4 games they had played before taking on Florida State. And then that showed again. So maybe Virginia's just a pretty good offensive team. And that showed out at home as a dog against the Seminoles. I would expect that Florida State's going to be prepared and look a little bit better and more sharp defensively. But to the end of the point, as you and I have said, I think we both think pretty highly of this Miami team, and I would expect that they take care of this spot.
Yeah, I was reading an article from Adam Burkup at VSiN.com this morning, looking at some of the line moves from Sunday to now, and he said that in his power rankings, he has Miami no lower than a 9-point favorite at SMU the rest of the way. 15 or higher in every other game on the schedule. This team looks like they are the real deal.
Oh, so he's got them 9 here.
They have a pretty clear path after Florida State. Florida State. Duke at Cal. Duke was getting, was laying 3.5 on the road, but the Cal Golden Bears coming off their win at Boston College, getting a little play here, seeing a full point move. We are under that key number of 3 for Cal at home.
The immense sample size, I believe, of Jackson Smith and Jigba, a different Jaren Sangapuotele. Short sample size, but I believe a perfect 2-0 straight up and against the spread as an underdog in his career. 100% of the time, he has won and covered outright as an underdog. I would expect that this is, again, a similar play in terms of just the way the cow has played. A great response and great call by you, by the way, as well, for them to go out across the country and take care of business and get an outright win against BC as a 6.5-point dog. And now you come here. I guess my question would be, do you think Duke is a similarly rated team to that of Minnesota? Because it's a pretty close number to what Minnesota was laying on the road, is it not? It was like about 1.5-point spread. I'd say that Duke is a little bit better than Minnesota. Are we getting to the point where we're getting too short for this Cal games?
Cal did win that game against Minnesota by double digits. I will. Yeah,
and they controlled it.
Well.
You were on that game, right?
Correct.
They controlled that entire game for the most part.
Everybody was talking about how this was the first real defense that they were going to play, and JKS had a pretty sharp game. I do wonder. I know Duke is going to try to come out a little bit early this week, but that body clock late game can be tough for those East Coast games coming out west, 7:30 Pacific, 10:30 Eastern, which means they're going to be playing that fourth quarter like 1:30 in the morning in their brains.
Should also note, because I don't think we said it out loud yet, this is your game this week, right?
Yes, I will be on the sideline, ESPN late night there.
You get a good one.
I think it could be. I think it has potential for it. So we'll get into that as we go, and I do some of my meetings this week. Boise State at number 21, Notre Dame. The Irish out from 17.5-point favorites to 19.5. I wonder where this line is going to close. As we talked about yesterday, Notre Dame's offense is for real. Dropped a combined 112 points now their last two games against Purdue and Arkansas. The teams who kept it close on Notre Dame were Miami and Texas A&M, who are both top 10 in the country. Boise State is not that.
Yeah, I agree with this wholeheartedly. Is it crazy to say it? I don't think so. We're at 19.5, 17.5. Then we get to like 21.5. I think Notre Dame offensively is absolutely brilliant. And this is the big litmus test for me. I've had this circle for a little bit. As we talked about, the Mountain West is down. I think Boise is part of that. I just think the gap between them and the rest of the stinky conference is just the same as it was last year. I don't really buy into this Boise State team that much. I think they're going to walk into a buzzsaw and get rolled, much like Arkansas did. I don't think that Notre Dame is going to get another coach fired, but I do think that they're going to run over Boise State in this spot.
Mississippi State, Texas A&M out from 11.5-point favorites, Texas A&M that is, at home, to 14.5. And I don't know if there's an injury or something, or if this is just really how people think, but I think that 14.5 might be out too far if Mississippi State's healthy. They're good. I know there's a potential letdown after the overtime game against Tennessee, but I don't know if they're getting the credit they deserve for how they've performed to start this season. Also, Texas and Florida, we are off of that key number of 7. So Texas favored by 6.5 now.
Yeah, going back to the Mississippi State game, I'd have to talk to somebody smarter than me when it comes to handicapping college football, but I would guess that a letdown spot is not enough for the market to push through a key-ish number of 14. But then again, maybe it just got piled on because of that situation coming up here. And it is college kids, and those situations are pretty strong at times.
I know that the two games where they've played better competition have been at home, but for over 2 touchdowns?
And I have my questions about this offense for Texas A&M, and it's not exactly looking wrong after they faced a bad defense in Notre Dame and then looked stuck in the mud last week.
Another big mover in the Big Ten, Illinois at Purdue. Illinois was favored by 12.5 at open, down to 8.5. Penn State, UCLA, the Bruins getting a little bit of love, down from 27.5-point dogs to 24.5. So there you go. We've got to step aside when we come back. More money moves. Josh Applebaum helping us break down the Monday Night Football doubleheader tonight.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Edition of Money Moves, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. Time to get set for the Monday Night Football doubleheader that is upon us tonight as we round out week 4 of the NFL season. To help us out, Josh Applebaum joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on next at Josh_Insights, our VSiN betting analyst, market insights expert. Also, if you haven't already, check out the All Systems Go podcast. Josh, welcome in. I want to start with the first game of the day, the Jets and Dolphins going head-to-head. We were talking earlier this hour. We started to see a couple of threes pop in favor of the Miami Dolphins. Now I'm only really seeing BetMGM, a lot of 2.5s across the board. What can you tell us about the movement on this game?
Yeah, Stormy, JBT, great to be with you. Stormy, great job by you really focusing on will we or won't we get to this key number of 3? Because obviously that really changes everything. If you like the Dolphins tonight, you really want a -2.5 or less. If you're looking to go contrarian a bit, go with the Jets, you're looking for that 3. So I doubt we'll get to the hook 3.5. Doesn't look like we're getting down to 2. So this is going to be a kind of ping pong game with the odds makers here, depending on which side takes in more money between now and kickoff. But I'm going to look toward the Dolphins guys to win the game on the money line. That's my play. You can still find the Fins around minus 150-ish if you shop around. But kind of the way I was reading the game, Stormy, is that all movement liability has been toward Miami. A lot of these sportsbooks opened Dolphins around -2.5. You mentioned how we're going to 3. The juice has always been on the Dolphins side, -2.5, -115, -120. We've never gotten down to 2. So this isn't like a massive, you know, two point move or full point move. But really, if you just focus on the juice, it's always been leaning toward Miami. You look at DraftKings, it's pretty much a split ticket count. I was surprised by this. Only right now, I believe like 54% of spread bets are going with Miami. I thought that'd be higher the way they battled pretty hard against Buffalo. And then obviously you've had the Jets. Both teams are 0-3. Jets did cover, though, last week against the Bucks. But what I like is where you guys are at Circa. Only 54% of tickets on Miami spread, but over 70% of the money on the Miami spread. So that tells me out in the desert where you guys are at, bigger wagers here are going with the Dolphins. I mentioned with the money line, what jumped out to me, if you look at the splits at Circa on just winning straight up, only 42% of money line bets, but 86% of money line dollars on Miami. So if you layer in some of these straight up system matches, they're all lighting up on the Dolphins. Favorites this year just straight up are winning 43-18, 71% of the time, 6% ROI. Tua in particular has a lot of good straight up trends at home in particular, 25-9, 74% straight up at home in his career. That's a 19% ROI. He is 5-0 head to head against the Jets. And it doesn't happen a lot, but if both teams are 0-3 and you're going into week 4, it's a smallish sample size, but the favorite is 7-4 straight up, 64% since 2006. And then really the big advantage I also put with Miami is this rest spot. Miami obviously played in Buffalo, but that was a Thursday night. You had the Jets who are now playing their second straight road game. They played on Sunday. If you like the Jets, I think that the teaser's there for you, 2.5 up to 8.5. But the way you were lining up this game, Stormy, just looks to me based on the juice, the movement, these system matches. I'm going to play the Fins here to win the game. Again, shop around. You can find around -150 on the money line.
All right, let's go to our other matchup then. Bengals and Broncos. What do we think?
Yeah, JBT, to me, this is a lot harder of a handicap because you got kind of some angles here on both sides. So let's talk about the line movement, what we've seen here. This line actually, of course, has gone toward the Denver Broncos. They open at some shops as low as -6. You're now showing 7.5. I'm paying attention to the juice right now, JBT, because it looks pretty much -110 everywhere. That's something to monitor when you're at a hook, especially with a key number. You know, do we see it get juiced up like it's falling back down to 7? Do we see it get juiced up -115, -120 toward the Broncos like it's getting up to 8? Like that little notable edge to me is important to monitor between now and kickoff. Like if we start to see it juice up and head back down towards 7, maybe that's an indication of some Bengals money showing up. If this continues to steam through 7.5 up to 8, that's further validation on the Broncos side. The splits, though, if you look right now at Circa, 66% of spread bets, but over 90% of spread dollars are on the Broncos. So it looks to me like you did have, for sure, some respected money late with Denver, probably closer to the 6, 6.5 before you got to 7, 7.5. I think if you're looking at Denver, you have a great teaser play, 7.5 down to 1.5. You can go through some key numbers there. That's all to put in the benefit of the Broncos side. But then I have my contrarian tendencies, guys, telling me why not buy low on the Bengals here. You look at an inflated dog. They're off getting 7.5 with the hook. They're only getting 36% of spread bets in a heavily bet game. Big dogs getting 6.5 points or more are 57% ATS this year. They're 56% ATS since 2022. Primetime dogs are 8-4 ATS so far to start the year. And here's the big system. Stormy, this is one of Michael Lombardi's favorite systems, if you remember. Dogs off a blowout loss. You get blown out by 20 points or more. You actually come back and you play pretty well the next week. It's just the ultimate buy low spot. They're 4-1 ATS this year. They're 57% ATS since 2018. So this is a tough handicap for me. What I'll be leaning right now is maybe teasing down the Broncos and pairing them up with possibly the Rams. This is a Thursday night game where the money has already really moved pretty big toward LA. Maybe that's Brock Purdy and his toe injury, but the Rams have already gone -3 up to 5.5, even 6. You have a lot of angles here with Thursday night football favorites, 4-0 straight up this year. They're 73% straight up since 2007. So you have some options here. The clear play to me tonight of the two games, though, is the Miami money line.
Well, now you've got me thinking maybe I just do a money line parlay with the two favorites today, get a little bit over even money if you bring the Broncos and the Miami Dolphins together. So Josh Applebaum joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Both of these totals for Monday night currently sitting at 44.5. Any notable movement or percentages we should know on these totals?
Yeah, I mean, the one that jumped out to me, Stormy, was the Miami under, because a couple of things are going on here. One, it really hasn't moved off the opener. It was pretty much 44.5, still 44.5. But if you look at some of the juice here, especially on our VSiN board, you're paying more of an expensive price to go under. So that little sneaky minus 115 under tells me you have some, again, respect for a lower scoring game here. You also look at some of the splits at DraftKings. Only 54% of bets, but 86% of the money is on the under. And then you layer in a few other system matches here. Outdoor divisional unders. This has kind of been a go-to spot for a lot of wise guy betting system players. They're 10-6 this year, 62%. They're 54%. Big sample size over the last five seasons. Now, primetime unders, they're 7-6 this year, slightly profitable. You do have to pay the juice, so it's pretty much break even. But they are 58% since 2019. And then the weather. I know, you know, you're down in Miami. You can have, you know, pop up, you know, storms and rains whenever you think about it. But tonight, rain is kind of 50-50, but it looks kind of windy, like 10 mile per hour winds, gusts up to 20 miles per hour. You got liability under, divisional under, primetime under, a little bit of wind. I'd lean toward that Miami under. And hey, if you want to tease down Denver, pair it with taking the Miami total up and going like under 50.5, that could make some sense too.
Let's go to baseball. What about your Sox taking on the Yankees? What are we thinking?
Yeah, JVT, it's the first time I've been in the playoffs since 2021. I forgot what playoffs feel like, so it's nice to have Soxtober back here. But
Josh, I'm going to stop you right now. The Angels have not made the playoffs since like 2011, so let's not go there.
But JVT, you won. How old were you when they won the World Series against, what was it, the
Giants? I was 11.
Yeah, so that's good memories for you, though, right?
We're going to get into this can of worms. Continue on with your analysis here.
Well, best of luck to your Angels one day, JBT. You'll experience the playoffs again. But yeah, I just think there's an opportunity to just kind of take a straight up contrarian play with Boston coming up tomorrow. It's an kind of early-ish game, 6:08 p.m. Two great pitchers on the bump, Crochet and Max Fried. But the line really hasn't moved too much. I mean, you open around Yankees, minus 130, minus 135, you're pretty much still in that short money line range at home. Right now, the public is going with New York, 60% of bets on the money line. It's not that lopsided, I would assume, and something to monitor between now and tomorrow is, you know, does the betting public say, hey, Yankees, playoffs, pinstripes, you know, basically October, end of September, late with New York. Do you see this, you know, continue to creep up? Does it come back down? We'll have to keep an eye on that. But the Red Sox have kind of had the Yankees number. They're 9-4 head-to-head against the Yankees this year. Red Sox are also a postseason dog. If you look at dogs in the postseason dating back over a decade at this point, they're only cashing about 46% of the time. But because of the plus money payouts, you're actually producing around a 3% profit. So ROI, I should say. So you've actually seen dogs do better overall, generally speaking, in the postseason than you do with favorites. Red Sox also have a big edge in the bullpen, second best bullpen, 3.41 ERA. Yankees have the eighth worst bullpen, even though they made all those moves to try to improve after the deadline. Yankees are favored in the series, minus 165, Boston plus 135. But the other angle for me, guys, is Garrett Crochet on an extra day of rest. If you look at a lot of his numbers, when he's on 5 days of rest, he kind of struggles a bit. They've tried to manage him throughout the year. When he gets on to 6 days, he pitches very, very well. So Red Sox can kind of play that underdog role. They've had the Yankees number, divisional dog in the postseason. If you can shop around, get Red Sox around minus 115, I'll take a shot on Boston tomorrow.
Josh, you're the best. Thank you so much for the time and insight. We appreciate it. Good luck with your bets.
You too. Thanks, Stormy. Thanks, JBT.
Josh Applebaum, everybody. And he's got an article breaking down all the Monday Night Football stuff up at VSiN.com right now. Come join us, VSiN.com/subscribe. You get access to all of it. And quick reminder before we go as well, VSiN and FirstBet have teamed up with a special offer for you right now. Open and deposit into a new FirstBet account. You'll get up to $250 with our sign-up bonus and promo code VSiN250. Then place $100 in wagers within your first 30 days. You'll unlock a full year of that VSiN Pro access we're talking about. It's $240 value right there. But if you're already a subscriber, we've got you covered still too. We're going to extend your subscription for another full year. The offer ends next Sunday, October 5th. Do not wait to claim the offer. You need our promo code VSIN250. That's VSIN250 when you sign up in the FirstBet app or at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. We're wrapping things up with our best bets next on Money Moves.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, we're wrapping up this Monday edition of Money Moves. Thanks for hanging out with us wherever you might be watching or listening. SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, any of our great local affiliates. Of course, the VSiN Watch app as well, which you can get in the App Store. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. Did want to bring up a couple quick injury updates for you. You mentioned earlier John Harbaugh on the podium discussing Lamar Jackson's hamstring injury. Still haven't found out much more about the imaging, but he did tell reporters that there was no way that he could have gone back in the game, despite a lot of the tweets that said that he was sitting down for an ego bruise. But he is truly injured, according to John Harbaugh. And Nnamdi Matabike, done for the year. We mentioned earlier that he was on injured reserve with a neck injury, but they are shutting him down for the rest of the season. So that's big.
It is. It is. I would say that the non-answer from Harbaugh in that, well, he no way he could get back into that game. You might as well just walked up there and said, yeah, he's really questionable for next week. Because if there's no way he can get back in the game on Sunday, why would we then believe that he would be healthy enough in the next 6 days to then take part in an NFL game against a very good defensive team of the Houston Texans?
Yeah.
So officially, I would say questionable at the very least.
So thoughts then immediately just on the Ravens -3.5 hosting Houston, total 42.5, or you want to save that for tomorrow?
I mean, they'd probably save it. I mean, again, it does depend on whether or not he's going to play. Initial glance actually would maybe be under. I know that the Ravens defense has not been good, but as we watched against the Titans, I mean, there was a sack of C.J. Stroud in which his offensive lineman allowed a defensive tackle to just walk by him and get him before he barely got the snap. So
it was the craziest thing ever. It was a split second.
Yep.
We talked about it on the air. He literally just put his arm up and over and he was grabbing CJ Stroud. So yeah, that offensive line is a problem, but lots of injuries for the Baltimore Ravens coming into this one. And obviously they were missing a lot of pieces already entering the game. And then the injury bug just continued to rack up for them. Also, speaking of quarterbacks in question, apparently Brock Purdy is in question for his status once again this week following the loss to Jacksonville yesterday.
Is there this big of a difference at this point between Brock Purdy and Mac Jones? Now, that does, of course, open the conversation to, did they overpay him? I don't want to have that conversation now, even though they probably did. But Mac Jones is obviously a little bit healthier in terms of the production. You can't really argue that Purdy's been better.
I think an injured Brock Purdy and a healthy Mac Jones are probably
the same guy.
To make a
third reference to the show today, right? Which image is different? You know, what's the difference between the two images?
They're
the same image. Yeah, exactly. So I don't think you push it. Just if he's hurt, he's hurt. Or let him get the turf toe surgery because it seems to really be bothering him. Didn't really look great against the Jags this last weekend. So why don't you just go with Mac Jones? He went on the road, got you a win against New Orleans. He's good enough. He gave you a gritty victory over Arizona back at home. Just roll him out there.
And it's the short week for them, taking on the Los Angeles Rams on Thursday night. We know how good that defense is. So
talk about line moves. We had that, do you approve this move for college? That moved pretty quickly. That went from 3.5 to straight to 4.
We're at 5.5 in favor of the Rams at home.
I was going to say, some rapidity before we got the news.
Total 46.5 in that one coming up on Thursday night. But let's go back to Monday night because we do have a doubleheader today as we get to our best bets presented by G-Bank. And G-Bank, as you all know, is built with sports bettors in mind. Right now, you can earn $50 in cashback reward bonus once you're approved and your account's open with the G-Bank Visa Signature Card. Most credit cards treat sportsbook and gaming transactions as cash advances, even when it's your own money. Not with G-Bank. They treat them as regular purchases, so no cash advance fees. Saves you 3 to 5% on every deposit right there. Plus, you get 1% cashback on all eligible sportsbook and gaming transactions, 2% cashback on everything else you buy with the card. Apply now at vsin.com/gbank. That's vsin.com/gbank. You have one teaser that you need to wrap up and a bet tonight. So where are you going?
Yeah, I got a couple, and I forgot to put this in. This is in the doc, though, so there's a few that I'm a little off on here, but these three for sure. So Broncos +7.5. Against the Cincinnati Broncos +7.5. Bengals +7.5. That's a typo on my end. I apologize. Bengals +7.5. Yeah, I got this way early. I don't know what you guys are talking about. Yeah, so the Bengals +7.5 against the Broncos. You mentioned the teaser. Texans and Jets. The Jets being the last leg +8.5 against Miami. The other football bet that I had added in here that is in our doc. Justin Fields over 8.5 rushing attempts in the game against the Miami Dolphins. Fields, obviously, being back here is a pretty big deal. If you go back to the first game in which he was fully healthy against the Pittsburgh Steelers, he had 12 rushing attempts, 7 of which were designed runs. I think the Jets know what they need here. You need to have a quarterback that needs to be counted for by this defense, needs needs to be a part of the running game. It opens everything up for you. So I do think going over those attempts, not so much yards, I think there's going to be high volume for him here in this game against the Miami Dolphins. So over on the attempts for one Justin Fields there, over 8.5, you see that minus 130, laid $1.20 there. And then the Tigers.
No, real quick. No fear for him coming off of the concussion running the football?
Not really. I mean, okay. So we had this conversation yesterday during Sunday, which is, okay, what do we do? He's hurt. He's making his first game back. Do I, like, dock him? Should I try in some form or fashion to adjust because I think he may be coming back? My assumption is if he's healthy to play, he's healthy to play. And they're going to use him the way that they probably should, which is as a runner. He's also a good enough runner that he doesn't take a lot of damage when you're talking about some of these runs, that he can avoid it. So, no, I don't have any fear. Maybe that's the wrong thing. But I think that if they're playing him, that means he is 100% full go and you're using him as you usually would. And then the Tigers to win the series against the Cleveland Guardians. Sorry, Adam.
Yeah, we did have a really good breakdown, by the way, of the wild card series that are coming up all beginning tomorrow, earlier in hour one of the program. And if you ever missed any of the show on Money Moves, you want to catch up, remember you can always download and subscribe to Money Moves wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, all of the things. We are there. I do. I know we mentioned it with Josh Applebaum last segment, and I kind of jokingly was like, oh, you can just put these two together. I'm going to do a little money line parlay with the favorites tonight. I do think the Miami Dolphins in general have an advantage here. Minus 150, put that together with the Denver Broncos, who are a big favorite in this spot. You get plus 103.
Did we just recently have a show bet? I think I lost, didn't I? We were going to do a show bet on something over the weekend, and we got to think about
that. Was it on Cal?
No, something else. I'll look back and I'll remember it. But because I was just going to say, we're going head to head here. Might as well just put this on the list of things.
Bing bong, yeah. Added to the list. But I do have a play on the Jets specifically for Garrett Wilson today. And I know this might be a little bit low hanging fruit. I wouldn't be surprised if when all of the data comes out and there's most bet props, if this is on it, but I think it's the right way to go. Garrett Wilson over 62.5 receiving yards. I think we're up to 63.5 a lot of places now, and this number is high, but 64.5, as you see on DraftKings right now. He's gone over this in two of the three games, no matter what number it is. Targeted at least 8 times in all 3 games, but this is more of a fade of Miami secondary, honestly, than it is a bet on Garrett Wilson. The Dolphins entered the year with what we already expected to be the worst defensive backfield in the National Football League. They have delivered on that promise. They have been bad, and they are decimated by injury. They've got 6 different defensive backs right now that are either out or on injured reserve. So this is a barren group who Storm Duck, their nickel, Jason Marshall, among these guys that are out. Their defense, 32nd in EPA per play, 32nd in success rate, 32nd in EVA per dropback, 29th as well in explosive play percentage. So there are so many different ways that we could get home here, whether it is volume. And I know that you talk about the run game for Justin Fields, but he gets Garrett Wilson, that is 39% target share. So when they are passing the ball, they're passing it to Garrett Wilson, and the explosive play rate against being so high, if he gets a couple of deep balls as well mixed in there, I think it could be a good day for Garrett Wilson.
And this is the team you think has the edge over the New York Jets?
That's one area.
I mean, that's a pretty damn big area.
I think for Miami at home.
A lot of 20s in there.
And also, how we're not that head-to-head. You have the Jets +8.5. I have Miami.
No, I'll go head-to-head. I think the Jets are going to win tonight.
Okay. Interesting.
By the way, you did not take up the show bet. I did remember it. It was Penn State-Oregon. You should have done it.
I didn't take it up.
No, you didn't. You were a coward because you're 0-2.
Because I didn't do money line. I said +3.5.
Also,
I made it a best bet.
We have a doc in which we have kept track of all of our bets for the season and whatnot. Kudos to you for already marking Avery Johnson down as a loss in the Heisman tracker.
I did. Just fat L there. Left Lenora Sellers up. I should have marked that off too. I do want to give us a little bit of credit though, because this was the best week by far that I know I personally have had betting the college football, and I'm probably going to mess it up tonight with these two plays. We'll see how that goes. But 4-1 on the college football plays this past week, and the NFL, I think I was 7-2. So pretty good. We'll see how much we mess it up. Your NFL plays have been awesome. I don't know why you're so mad about it.
I'm not mad. I will not invoke any bad juju on what is going on right now.
I don't think it's any bad juju, is it?
I'm a little stitious on these certain things.
Not superstitious, just a little stitious.
Yeah, just a little stitious. Absolutely.
I was getting clocked by college football. So I was very pleased to finally have that turn around a little bit. We'll see if we can keep it going this week. I don't know. I'm excited for the Monday Night Football doubleheader. You're excited for the Super Bowl halftime show.
Yes, Bad Bunny. Very much looking forward to it. You are not familiar with his work.
I'm familiar with his work, and he's a very funny SNL host when he does stuff.
Good.
And
he's in Happy Gilmore, too.
I liked him in Happy Gilmore, too, but I couldn't tell you a song of his off the top
Give you a couple of songs to listen to, see if you dig it.
What's his most famous song?
I don't know. I don't listen to him enough that I'd be able to tell you, like, the number one hit. I've listened to, like, a couple of albums. And
you said, I'm excited for the Super Bowl halftime show. And then you say, I can't tell you his best song off the top of my head.
Yeah, one of those. Vete is also a very good one.
On that note.
Vete.
It's
a good song.
Follow the Money is next. Good Lord.